The Epistle for the Fourth Sunday of Easter, Series B, April 29, 2012. The text is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. En tuto egnokamen tein agapen, hoti akenos huper hemon tein psychen autu etheken, kai hemes ophelomen huper ton adolphon tas psychas thenai. In this we know, and it's a perfect active indicative of gnosko, so we have come to know and are persist in that condition of knowing. In this we know love, that one for us set aside, aorist active indicative of tithemi, his life. We also ought to set aside, aorist infinitive in Nestle Elan 27, the variant shows the present infinitive. We also ought to set aside our lives for the brothers. The first words in the text are en tuto, rendered by the ESV, by this. One has to deal very quickly, I think, with whether the referent of this has already been identified, in which case we'd have to look to the preceding material to find it, or whether the referent is still to be identified, in which case we have to wait for it until it comes. In this instance, and actually in a couple more in this text and elsewhere in 1 John, the referent comes shortly after, and in most cases, hoti is the thing that introduces the proposition that is represented by this. Here, the proposition is what denotes love, tein agapein. We need to notice also at this point that as in the previous pericope, the apostle, which was, for the previous Sunday was 1 John 3, verses 1 through 7, John continues to use ekenos to designate the person of Christ. It's a strong sort of he or him, that one and no one else. And the reader is continually to pick up on the fact that Christ is the one who is indicated by that strong pronominal form. The apostle's use of tithemi here piques my interest because it seems to encompass more than dying. Doesn't say that he gave up his life for us. It says he set it aside, or that he died for us, or you know, formulations that we're maybe more accustomed to. To set aside one's life seems to entail relinquishing control of it, even if it is not or has not been taken away by death. It entails living as if one is not one's own. For example, serving instead of being served. I began to prepare my notes for this lectionary at lunch session just a couple of days after Palm Sunday. And the Philippians 2 text came to mind, how Jesus empties himself. He sets aside in some way his divinity and its prerogatives. We cannot know exactly how that happens. But even as a man, then he further places his life at the disposal of the Father. And with that kind of putting oneself at the disposal of another, then we also exhibit that in how we put our lives at the disposal of those who are our brothers. Verse 17, host an eche ton bion tu kosmu kai theore ton adolphon altu chrean echonta kai klese ta splachna altu ap altu pos he agape tu theu mene en alto. Whoever then has the life which is of the world, bios, rather than tuche, has the life which is of the world, and observes his brother having need. And Kalese locks his compassion away from him. How is the love of God remaining in him? How does the love of God, how can it be said that the love of God remains in him? The verbs in the protasis of this verse are present subjunctives. In the apodosis, a present indicative. If a person meets the set of conditional actions, having the life of the world, observing his brother having need, locking compassion away from him, there is a fundamental disconnection between that person and both the love which proceeds from God, agape tu theou, what kind of genitive is it? So a disconnection between that person and the love which proceeds from God, the love which is God's love, and a disconnection between that person and his avowed love for God. Verse 18, technia, me agapomen logo, me de te glose, alla en ergo kai aletheia. Little children, let us not love in word nor in speech or tongue, but in deed, work, and in truth. Me plus the present subjunctive, in effect, don't even start to live this diminished kind of love that is reduced to just talking about it instead of also doing it. Verse 19, and here again we have another of these constructions with en tuto. Kai en tuto glosomatha, or gnosomatha, hoti ek tes aletheas esmen. Kai empros then altu pesomen tain kardion hemon. Again, we shall know ourselves, gnosomatha, a future middle indicative, that we are of the truth, and before him we shall convince or set at ease a future of patho, our hearts. This verse, like in verse 16, begins, and tuto, in this or by this. And the question, again, is whether the referent and content of this is to be found in something that precedes or in something that follows. It still is in something that follows. This time, what is perhaps striking is that there is a larger interval between the pronoun and its referent. For this verse in particular, there are, I think, two keys. One is the sourcedness of the believer in the truth, and the conviction, the being convinced or persuaded of the heart, that we are of the truth, ek tes aletheos, and the conviction, the being convinced or persuaded, the use of patho. Verse 20 sort of continues the setup with a hati, actually two hati clauses. Hati e'an katagnoske hemon hekardia, hati meson esten hotheos tes kardias hemon kai gnoske panta. That or potentially also because if or when, aeon, the heart condemns us, we know that God is more or greater than our hearts, and indeed knows all things. In the juxtaposition of the two verses, 19 and 20, the apostle indicates, on the one hand, how the heart can serve as a source of some reassurance, but it is certainly not the most reliable. The heart can let us down by condemning us, kataginosko plus the genitive. There actually seems to be a dimension of denial in that verb that might come a bit short of an actual verdict. The thing, and that's what's indicated by my comment that the heart lets us down. The heart sort of denies us; it fails, and therefore we need to. The believer will turn his attention to the one who is reliable and trustworthy, God, who is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Our sense of ourselves can betray us. God is the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, and we entrust ourselves to him. Verse 21, agape toi, ean he kardia hemon me katagnoske paresian echomen proston theon. And it sort of stops in mid-sentence there. Beloved, if or when our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And now to continue with verse 22, kai ha e'an aitomen lambanomen ap altu, hati tas entolas altu terumen, kai ta aresta enopion altu poiumen. We have confidence before God, and that which, if we are seeking, we are receiving from him, because we are keeping his commandments and we are doing the things that are pleasing before him, that is, in his sight. That's a rather wooden rendering, but what I'm trying to do is emphasize the fact that the verbs seek, receive, keep, and do, aiteo, lambano, tereo, and poieo are all present active indicative. The emphasis is on the connection between the doer and the activity. The condition that is described is one that prevails and persists. Verse 23, Kai alte estin he entole altu, hina pistuomen to onomati tu huio hautu Jesu Christu, kai agapomen aleilus, kathos eroken entolein hemen. And this is his commandment, that we believe, aorist active subjunctive. His commandment is given in order that we may believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love, now a present active subjunctive, one another, just as he gave, aorist active indicative, commandment to us. Hina plus the two subjunctives here of pistio and agapao seem to conform. The two subjunctives seem to conform to an exegetical or appositional kind of use. That is, the commandment is to believe in Jesus, emphasis on the action, and to be in a relationship of loving service with other believers. A love that that keeps on, that is a persistent kind of thing. There might be closer juxtapositions of these dual commands to believe and to love, but the ones that occurred to me are John 13:34, love one another, in the setting where Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. And then again, as they leave the upper room and he starts on his discourse, John 14, verse 1, believe also in me. Verse 24, kai hoteron tas entolas altu en alto mene, kai altos en alto. kai en tu to genoskomen hoti mene en hemen ek tu pneumatos u or hu hemen edoken. And the one who keeps or is keeping present active participle his commandments remains present active indicative is remaining in him, and he, Christ, in him, in the one who keeps the commandments. And in this we know, and are knowing, present active indicative, that he is remaining, present active indicative, in us, from or by the Spirit he gave us. Edoken erist. Now, the reason for this reading in Easter may be harder to discern than in some other cases, because there is no explicit mention of Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection is, however, the proverbial other shoe that one must let drop. If or since Jesus relinquished his life for us, verse 16, which echoes Jesus' own statement in John 10, 17 and 18, antithemi is the verb there. So it seems to be something that that John, whether in his gospel or in his letters, it's a verb that seems to have particular significance for him when it comes to how he understands Jesus relinquishing his life for us. In John 10, Jesus said, "No one takes his life from him, he gives it up, tithemi, and will take it up again." So here it is to be the inference of the believing reader and the believing community that he did indeed take his life up again. So that's something that is at the heart of the text. Again, John keeps connecting everything to what God has done in Christ, how he has put his love on us, how Jesus is the one who comes in the flesh and is our advocate, and all of the other things that have preceded in this letter. There are things that are entailed or are consequences of a recognition and faith in what Jesus has done, and they have to do with lives of loving service. So faith, believing, and a life of loving service or of serving love are inseparably connected. An absence of love or service raises doubt about faith. The presence of love, service, suggests the presence of faith, but it is not as reliable or reassuring as the work of Christ and the promise of God's Word, that God is greater than our heart and knows everything is something we know only through his promises. The Spirit that Christ has given also is reassurance that we are Christ's own. But how the Spirit works and how his presence is discerned then becomes the topic of the next paragraphs.